morning, Roger.
Good morning.
Well, once again, we're going to start in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And in our last study, we considered the word precious that we see there in verse 1 as it pertains to faith, the very precious faith that we have, the rest that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus, as we just sang. Precious indeed. Today, I want to look a little deeper into that verse. So if you would, read once again with me, verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1.
Thank you.
And we read the first verse. Again, we looked at that word precious pretty deeply and how the Lord uses that word throughout scriptures. We went to several different verses last Sunday and looked at how our Lord uses the word precious. What precious really deeply means. I mean, the green pollen is out, folks, and my cough will be persistent, most likely between now and the time the green pollen stops, so please forgive me. So we looked at that word precious in all the different places. We looked at several different places in God's Word where He uses that word precious to describe to us, to give us the understanding of how important this gift of faith is that God gives us. My faith has found a resting place. Not in anything that I could do, not in any creed or works of my own flesh, but only in our Savior. And what precious faith that is. Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much.
Can I get a donut with that, Bill? But I want to notice something here. Take a look. Notice that Peter addresses them. You see that in verse 1 there? To them. Did you catch that?
Yes.
He didn't address the world, did he? He didn't address the whole world and everybody in it, did he? No, he addressed it them. That gives us a very clear point that them is somebody different than the others. Does it not? To them. That's kind of telling us that there's a group of people, is it not? Unlike the prominent so-called Christian churches of today that group all of mankind into a single mold of personal choice. They present God as doing this, but it's up to you to choose. You have been offered, and we're going to talk about that in the message to come at 11 o'clock. Unlike those churches who grouped all of mankind into that single mold of personal choice, into that single mold of you must choose your destination, or in other words, let's just cut it right down to simple words, free will. The Holy Scripture addresses two groups of people. Israel in the Old Testament and everybody else. You have the Jews and the Gentiles. You notice that the Lord doesn't break down much in all the other everybody else. You got the Moabites, the Trishites, and all the Egyptians, all those kind of people. But they're all, it's either Israel or it's the other people. Two groups. Two groups of people. Those who are dead and those who have been made alive. Those for whom he loved, and those for whom he hated. We read this in Romans 9, 13 through 16, where it says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, so that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Our Lord breaks peoples down into two different types. Those who are saved by his grace, and those who go about their lives on the path of destruction, trying to work out their own salvation. Matthew 25 through 32, we read these words, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Two different types of people. Peter's addressing to them. This group is specific. They are ones who have received something. They didn't buy it. They didn't go out and earn it. They're not receiving it because they did something. It says, obtained. That means a gift. It means to be received. It's like a supernatural gift of some kind. You know, the world calls it this. They call it luck. Boy, that guy sure is lucky. He obtained an inheritance from his mom and dad that was really big. Or that guy over there, he was unlucky. His mom and dad didn't have anything that he could inherit anything from. He's unlucky or lucky. That's what that word obtained. It doesn't mean lucky or lucky, but it does mean something above something that we could do. Now, I'll give you an example of that. Turn over your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. I want you to see this. I want you to see this in God's Word. You know, Bill came to me a little bit ago, and he said, John, your Friday night Bible study, the Lord just blessed me a great deal with that. He says, I've always been on the fence a little bit about that part of Elijah and John the Baptist, where they were saying. He said, but I never saw that. I never saw that. The Lord never revealed those words to me in his Word, where he says, this is Elijah. May God show us through his word what this word obtained means. Look with me, if you would, at verses 23 and 24 of John chapter 19. 23 and 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rent it, but cast lots for it. That sounds like referring to something about luck, doesn't it? Something above themselves, something that they couldn't do of their own, something that they couldn't earn on their own. They received it. Here, you get this, but you only get it because something above decided that you would get it. And they cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my remnant among them, for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Two words in that verse 24 are the exact same words that we read back in 2 Peter, the word obtained. The two words are cast and lot. They're exact same word. And they mean this. They mean to lot, to receive. That is to determine, especially by lot. Here, I'm going to give you an example. His lot be. His lot. He obtained his lot be this, or his lot be that. His lot is that he is poor. He was born in a poor country. How else could he be anything but poor? Or his lot is well because he was born in the riches of royalty. You get what I'm saying? That's what this word obtained means. It means to cast lots, to obtain. So with that in mind, I want to say this. We who know the sovereign Lord of all things, we who have been given the vision to see the truth of who God is, know that there is no such thing as luck. Our God, the God who has revealed himself to us through these words, through his word, the scriptures, rules everything. Amen. Nothing is by chance. Our God determines all things. To obtain something is to have received it. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we read this, For whom maketh thee to differ? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received? Peter makes it clear this item obtained or received is something precious. Back in our text, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He makes it very clear that this item was received is precious. Look at it again. He says, to them, to that group of people, to those who are the sheep of God that have obtained, because those are the ones who obtained that precious faith, the faith to believe on him. Those are the ones who receive the gift of God. It's like, as it is to you and I and to all who belong to Christ, it's precious. And we've looked at that precious faith, and with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he makes it clear that this precious gift is something precious, something of more value than anything else. It's precious to me as it is precious to you. Folks, is your faith in the Lord Jesus, the faith that God has given you in his word, is it precious to you? Does it mean something? Is it more precious than any gold that you could receive from this world, as we saw in last week's study? You can have all that stuff. Because if you don't have the faith of God, given of God, everything else is worthless. Amen. It's the same faith. Precious to each of us. Why? Because we know that we got it the same way. We know that it was by God's grace who came to us when we were dead in trespasses and sin and called us out of that darkness. That faith in him is something we know we could not get on our own. We had to obtain it. It had to be given from above. Why is it so precious? Because it came from God. By grace, we obtained it from the same source. We got it from God. Not from something else, not from something we did, but from him. It's precious in our sight because our faith is in the one thing, or as it is, the one person, and it's all in Christ Jesus the Lord, as we saw in Friday night's Bible study. The one thing we all have in common. And then we see that this precious faith, you know, before I say that, I want to say this. Speaking of this precious faith, we're going to come to the table here this afternoon after we have lunch and have a short second message. And everyone that comes to this table of remembrance should only come in their faith if their faith is in one. One. And one only. Not one plus something else, but one alone. And then we see that this precious faith is obtained through the righteousness, not just any righteousness, for there are none righteous, no, not one, but through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of Henry Mahan. He wrote this about that. He says, this epistle is addressed to believers in Christ who have, by the grace of God, obtained like precious faith. Now we've looked at that. He writes these words. He says, it is like, that is, It is the same faith as the apostles. It's the same faith as Abraham. It's the same faith as Moses. It's the same faith of all of God's people. For there is but one faith, goes on hearing man to say, called the common faith, which is common to all believers, though not the same in degree. It is the same in its source, its object, and its results. It's all faith in our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in this flesh. We shouldn't. God forbid that we ever do. For when we do, we've taken our eyes off of the only place confidence belongs, and that's in our Savior. Secondly, he writes this saving faith in Christ is precious, for it is worth more than 10,000 worlds. Through faith, we are justified and made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This faith comes to us in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. For faith is the gift of God, as the righteousness of Christ is also the gift of God. Where the righteousness of God is imputed, faith is also given to receive it. Abraham was chosen of God, accepted in the Beloved, an object of special grace and revelation. Therefore, he believed God. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment before I finish it. You know, I was thinking about this. Do you ever falter? Falter? Do you ever get doubt? A dear brother asks quite often, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved. Pray for me, please. I just don't know if I'm saved. Folks, let me ask you something. Now, everybody likes to hold Abraham up as a picture of faith. And we go through how he left his land, he left his family, he left everybody, and he went out into the world not knowing where he was going to go. He did that on faith. He took his son up on a mountain ready to sacrifice him because God had told him, and he did it by faith. How often do we stop to think about this? Have you heard of one called Ishmael? Did you know Ishmael is the base root for Islam? That religion of Islam, the second largest religion known to man on the world, came from Ishmael. Ishmael's Abraham's son, his first son, yet God did not recognize him as a son at all. Don't tell me Abraham was perfect in his belief. For no man is perfect. David, after God's own heart, slept with Bathsheba and had a child and then had her husband killed. We all falter, folks. We all have the sin of doubt that dwells within us. And you're going to fight that. You're gonna battle with that. You're gonna battle against that doubt from now until the time the Lord takes you out of this world and you stand with him in heaven, looking upon him face to face. Oh, the wonder of that faith when the Lord brings it home and hits our hearts with it and says, "You're mine." I was thinking about that in the shower this morning. I'm his. What do I have to doubt? Quit looking at the flesh and all the things that can go wrong with that and look to my Savior who's done it all perfectly. Faith in his righteousness. Amen. We sing the song, "Great is thy faithfulness." Is there any part of that song that mentions man's faithfulness at all? No. As great as his faithfulness. John Reeves falls and stumbles all the time, as all of God's children do. Yet we have a faithful servant, our Lord and Savior, who humbled himself. Look over at John chapter 10, if you would, with me. John chapter 10, and read some very familiar words. This is in reference to what Henry Mahan said. Before we read that, I want to close with what he left in his article there. Abraham was chosen of God, accepted in the Beloved, and an object of special grace and revelation. Therefore, he believed God. And Mahan closes it with this, and he says, and this faith was accredited to him as right standing with God. His sheep, writes Henry, will hear and will believe. And that's exactly what we read in John chapter 10. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them and says, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, talking about himself, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. All of God's elect, our faith, our trust is in our Savior. and the knowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. I ask you, are you ashamed to be known as a servant of Christ? The faith of God's elect that's speaking of in Titus 1:1 is given to us by the Spirit of God in his effectual calling. I'm going to bring this to a close right now. Like precious faith. I want to read that verse again. Simon Peter. Put your name there. John Reeves. A servant. I can't say an apostle because I was not standing with Christ in person. So I'll pass by that. John Reeves, a servant. To them that have obtained like precious faith, to the sheep of God, to those who hear his voice, to those who have the same precious like faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Next week we'll pick up verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Would you stand with me?